ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रम् अत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिकामाधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितकृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयथःपरकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Yeah, a few days ago, Gauranga Prasad Prabhu asked me to give a title for tonight's lecture. So I looked through all the... I have many lectures notes that I'm ready to give at different times. So I looked at one again. Then I thought, I forgot I'd given a title. So I thought of saying something else. But I always try to speak in an interesting manner. If any of you came specifically to hear that subject, I don't think so, is it? So I thought to in the meantime, I thought of something to speak on, which I didn't make notes for. It's just in here for the time being. The other day, I went to prison. Means that was last Sunday. We visited a prison in Texas, and we had a nice program. That means that the inmates were, on the whole, quite receptive and appreciative that we had come. Just one small anecdote, actually not even in the prison, when we were going inside. There's a cage that you have to enter, and only one door is opened at a time. So as we were waiting to enter the cage, there were two women employees. They met each other. One was going in, one going out. Must be changing shift. And one asked the other how she was, and the other replied, "I am blessed." And that's what I want to speak about this evening. That I thought about that. She said, "I am blessed," which someone could say it sarcastically, but she clearly wasn't saying it sarcastically. She clearly felt that she had the blessings of God, which is a good attitude to have. It can be also a somewhat misused attitude. If someone thinks, "I have the blessings of God, and therefore I'm better than all these heathens or kafirs or whatever you want to call them," that kind of attitude, to assume superiority on the strength of feeling, "I am blessed and these others are not," that is not a high level of God realization. There's an equivalent for that in Vaishnava culture. Does anyone know? Can anyone think? Well, not exactly. In thinking, I'm a devotee and just me and God, and that's all. Acharya meva hariyesh pujang yashridhaye hatena tad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta. What's the next word? Anyone? Prakrita smita. If you read Srila Prabhupada's books regularly and listen to his lectures, you'll hear this verse from time to time. It comes up time to time. It's from the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, and it's also quoted as one of the verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Srila Prabhupada also quotes it time to time elsewhere. So it's discussing the devotee, the materialistic devotee, and not a high-level devotee. And this verse states that he worships or gives high respect and has great faith in the Supreme Lord, in Hari, but has no particular regard for the Lord's devotees or for anyone else. So such a person is called a materialistic devotee. Materialism is characterized by the aham mama, aham mamiti, I, me and mine. So if one thinks like that in terms of God also, I, me and God, and to hell with everyone else. I don't care about anyone else. It's my God, or my people's God, or my religion's God, or just... He belongs to us. He's on our side. He'll kill our enemies. That God bless America and damn everyone else. This kind of attitude. So anyway, it'd be wrong for me to ascribe such an attitude to this somewhat elderly lady who said that, and I just thought of that now. At the time I thought, well, that's something very nice, that she's recognizing that there is God, and what she has, she is receiving as a blessing of God. But then later I had some other thoughts, one that actually, I should be so much more happy for the blessings that I've got. And also happy that I'm not happy for the blessings that she considers she's got. She thinks, well, I can only speculate, but it should be pretty close estimate of what she's thinking. She's thinking, well, I've got a nice house and enough money, enough food, so that's God's blessing on me. So, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I'm blessed. It's his blessing. That I don't think that to have a nice house and a nice car and enough money is God's blessing. In fact, that's to think like this is what keeps us on the level of, at best, a neophyte devotee. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitaya. To think that I have a nice wife, a nice house, and I belong to a nice country, I have children, I have money, this is God's blessings. But Bhagavatam states, Rishabdev, the Supreme Lord states, that thinking like this is the very manifestation of illusion, of thinking in terms of I, me and mine, that binds one in this material world. And to put everything in more context, the first two lines of that verse, anyone? We don't have any shloka learners around here. There's a well-known verse. If you don't know this verse, you really should, because it defines exactly what is the cause of our bondage in this material world. The first two lines are Pungsastriya mituni bhavame tam tayoraho hridya grantimahuhu. The cause of material bondage is attraction between male and female, which when it's solidified, I mean, there's a general attraction, but when we become particularly bound up when the knot is tied, the real knot is not the knot of clothing, but the knot in the heart, then we become attached to money, children, wife, friends. Sutta mita ramani samaje, this society, friendship and love. And we become more and more illusioned in this material world. So it's very good to recognize God. That's a big and important step up from not recognizing. They're a materialist. Materialistic people means they're interested in enjoying the senses. But there's a great difference between those who do so in defiance of God and in, at the very least, lip service to God. Even that is a big step up. If we see in the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam included, there are the devas, the demigods, and the asuras. And they're both materialists. What is the difference? Dhubhuto sarge lokesmin daiva asura evacha. Vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asuras tadviparyaya. In this world, there are two kinds of beings. One are called the devas, the godly, and the others are called the asuras, which Srila Prabhupada generally translated as demons. So the devas, they are devotees of Vishnu. And the asuras, they're just the opposite. Otherwise, they're both materialistic. They're both interested in wine, although the asura literally means they didn't get the wine. But anyway, they get, if they don't get the somaras, they get another kind of wine. No, they're interested in intoxication, women, enjoyment of women, comfortable life, prestige, power, position. But some people pursue this in a godly way. Some people pursue these worldly delights in a godly way. And others perceive them, they pursue them in an ungodly way. This morning, Gauranga Prasad Prabhu, who I think most of you here, you all know him. I kidnapped him for a few weeks while I'm traveling around America. Otherwise, he's here most of the time. When I'm with him, he keeps me up on the latest news in India. He's always reading the news in India. I also do, but I'm not as close a reader as he. So he told me that the big news in India, the gang rapes aren't big news anymore, just normal, seems to be. There's been another one. So big news is the new government. We're all waiting to see what they'll do. It's the first time the majority government for quite some time, for 2 terms, maybe more. And it's a radically different government. First time. A Hindu nationalist party, as is usually referred to in the West, has got absolute power. So, absolute majority, sorry, not absolute power. That's maybe the next stage, who knows. Well, only Krishna has absolute power. So, he told me that one of the things they want to do is to introduce into the school curriculum the Upanishads. And I said, well, how are little children going to understand this when even highly advanced Vedic pundits, they can't understand? It's very high and subtle subject matter. It's couched in, a lot of it is couched in cryptic language. So it's very difficult to understand, but the Upanishads, they are meant for persons who are not materialistic. The planets of the rishis are above those of the demigods. We have our Golok chart here, you can see that later. There's a chart being made of the everything from hell up to Golok, to replace the one which had been in circulation for some years previously, which was chock-a-block with mistakes. So above the planet of the demigods, the planets of the demigods who are materialistic enjoyers, who are godly, the planet of the rishis, who are interested in the topics, or who pursue topics, or who pursue self-realization in pursuance of the topics discussed in the Upanishads, which is cryptic, as I say. Actually, all the Vedas, as the Vedas themselves state, Sarva Veda Yad Padam Amananti. They all point to one thing, but most of them don't directly, explicitly establish what that is. In Bhagavad Gita, Gita Upanishad, Krishna explicates that Vaidaischa Sarvairaham Eva Vedaha. Veda means knowledge, and the goal of knowledge in the Vedas, Krishna says, is himself. But Krishna can actually be approached in love by people who are not materialistic. To be a materialistic devotee, it's almost oxymoronic to say materialistic devotee, because devotee means that he's not interested. If we're interested in Krishna, how could we be interested in this world, in enjoying this world? Material enjoyment and love of God are opposites. Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prema Nam. It's another of those must learn verses. Any of you that have a string over your shoulder, you should know these verses. Otherwise, what's the meaning of being a Brahmana if you don't know these basic verses? Otherwise, it's just the kind of Brahmana that is being. The Srila Prabhupada wanted to make Brahmanas to replace the class of Brahmanas who are only a Brahmana because they have a string. So if we also only have a string and we don't know even the most basic teachings, then, well, at least we can say there are some Western people with a string on their shoulder. So the meaning of this verse, essential, absolutely, like the whole crux of what we are supposed to be doing in Krishna consciousness. The essence of this verse is that the desire to satisfy one's own senses is called kama, or the desire for material enjoyment. And the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses in love, to lovingly serve Krishna, that is called prema, or love of God. So this is the difference. So, truly, I am blessed to have been, or anyone is blessed who has been given the opportunity to partake in this Krishna consciousness movement, which actually offers love of God and makes us aware who is that person who goes by the name of God, Bhagavan, Ishvara, Allah, and the misnomer, it seems, Jehovah, and so on. Who actually is that person? It's Krishna. And who are we? We are servants of Krishna. What is the meaning of being his servant? Well, to know that, then we have to know who is Krishna. Know who is Krishna. We can be a servant. It's like we say, I am a servant of the, I'm a servant of America. But it's all vague and general. What does it mean? But if one is, say, a bodyguard of the president, it's something much more specific. So to say we're a servant of God, that's very nice, or that I'm blessed by God, but if we don't really know who he is and what he wants of us, and what his real blessings are, then it's not much of a blessing. I think I spoke last time I was here on blessings also. I seem to remember that. I was talking about people come and they ask me for blessings. So we should be aware of what those blessings are. Otherwise, if we don't know, if we don't take the trouble to take the blessing, Srila Prabhupada gave us his blessing by coming to this world and tirelessly working hard to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. What is the blessing? Well, that's multifarious. The blessing is Krishna. He gave us Krishna. But how did he give? By kirtan, by knowledge. Great amount of his time went in giving us knowledge of Krishna in the form of books, and then his informal conversations and lectures. He wanted us to understand Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate, the science of the knowledge of Krishna, of God, actually. Krishna, that's very specific, but we may not understand. We must understand Krishna as Krishna, as this. We love Krishna. We have to love Krishna. The cowherd boy, Shyamasundaram, Achintya Guna Swarupa, blackish form, threefold bending form. His whole transcendental form is replete with transcendental, inconceivable qualities. So we love Krishna, but we should know the science of God. What is it? Why Krishna? People say, why Krishna? Why? Well, Krishna fits the description of Bhagavan, of God. What does it mean, God? And people may say omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. But the science of God is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And knowing that frees us, by knowing the science of God, that frees us from material attachments, which means griha, kshetra, sutapta, vittaha, all these home, family, friends, children, society, money, all these things. So we are to understand that. Otherwise, we may be devotees, but we may be materialistic or neophyte devotees. Srila Prabhupada said about his own Guru Maharaj that when he saw the number of his neophyte devotees increasing, he decided to leave this world. Great acharyas, they do not come to this world simply to create some religion. Religion means a lot of neophyte devotees. Those who want the blessings of God in the form or that will bind them in this world. They don't want the real blessings, which is to be released from this world and full of actual love for Krishna, giving oneself to Krishna. But almost inevitably, those who come to give love of Krishna may be appreciated by few and misunderstood, misrepresented, and imitated by many. And then there comes a religion. What we call a religion, that people thinking that the blessing of God and the highest level of love of God is to have everything here. And maybe there also, but right for now I'm here, so let's get on with enjoying God's blessings here. But a better blessing than to think, well, God has kindly given me money, family, children, and all these things, is that if one has no interest in all these things. Of course, those who are in grihastha life, we have to say this. they have responsibility to discharge, and it can be in Krishna consciousness. But frankly, it is very rare to find a grihastha who is, in terms of their developing pure love of God, who is not more attached in a mundane way to his family, property, etc., and all these things, and is actually healthy for his spiritual advancement. Now, it may be that those who have accepted sannyas, they're also more attached than they should be to whatever they have, which may, well, they've got position, they're respected here in America, not like in India, but at least within the small world of members of ISKCON within America, there's some respect, is there? And they may have a car and a bank account and all these kind of things. So they may be attached also. But any level of attachment to this material world binds us within it. Therefore, we should apply ourselves to Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. So there we have Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, the scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. So here I can bring in that other topic, Krishna consciousness problem solving. Solves all the problems. You have to become detached from this world. Get detached from this world, go back home, back to Godhead, dance with Krishna, play with Krishna, eat with Krishna, steal butter with Krishna, and so on. So problem solving. And it's problematic because, in so many ways, because to be able to play with Krishna, we have to stop desiring anything in this material world. And that for us is problematic. And it becomes problematic for others also. Worldly people feel threatened by actual saintly people. Materialistic people feel threatened by them. Their very existence is something. It makes such a contrast to materialistic people that that the materialistic people feel threatened by them, and also those who are actually saintly. It is they, for the benefit of others, they have to point out all the faults in materialism and materialistic consciousness, and materialist people don't like this also. They like to be happy on the platform of mundane piety, thinking I'm blessed by God, and here's my car and my big house, and that's a sign of God's blessing. So saintly people are a problem for materialistic people who make problems for them, so it's Krishna consciousness is problematic also. To get the blessings of Krishna. What is the blessing of Krishna? Arjuna, he wanted the blessing of Krishna to leave the battle. But and be a good man. And Krishna gave him the blessing that he would go right into the battle and kill thousands of people. That was Krishna's blessing on him. We're not enjoined to do that. But we are enjoined to you mentioned that Vaishnava ke. Nirjana ghare toma harinama kevala kaita. This peaceful chanting is simply cheating, in the words of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. To be happy just with one's own chanting, that is simply cheating. He wanted those who would go out and preach. When Srila Prabhupada, he was very sick and he was scheduled to go on to his next destination, and devotees were told him as he was walking out the door of the temple that please just stay here and rest and cancel your program, rest till you get better. Srila Prabhupada turned to them and said, you do not understand. I want the benediction from Krishna to fight for him up to the last breath, as did Arjuna. So that was the blessing that Srila Prabhupada wanted. So we're supposed to take blessings in parampara. We are blessed, but are we taking the blessing? Do we want to take the real blessing? Many times people come to me, mostly Indians, because there is, after all, still some culture, some remnants of the Vedic culture among Indians, which, excuse me saying so, but when I come to America, it is quite noticeably different, even among our devotees. And it would have been nicer, would have been suitable if the Indians who have come here to seek the blessings of Bhagawan in terms of dollars, that having received the blessings of Krishna in the form of real devotional service, it would have been good if they could have taught some of the culture to those who are newly taken to Krishna consciousness instead of imitating them. Anyway, that's another subject. But are we ready to take blessings? People come to me and ask blessings. They say, well, what do you want blessings for? I ask them. And sometimes they say, well, The children, they'll say, to pass my exams. That's a common one. And the older, those, they say, well, so that I can become a pure devotee. I said, how about this? I'll give you blessings that you are free from all your material attachments will go. And then they become a little... You want to be a pure devotee? And first, you can't be a pure devotee without giving up all material attachments. They want to be a pure devotee and still have all their material attachments. So the cheating mentality is exposed. That you want to have your cake and eat it, as they say. You know that saying? You want to still have a cake, but and eat it and still have a cake. Well, at least in this material world, you can't do that. So are we ready to take the blessings? And if we give the blessing, what are you going to do with it? It's not that Krishna said to Arjuna, okay, you just sit here, I'll bless you, and then, okay, that's all. But he told him, go and fight, again and again in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna speaking all the philosophy, and then he says, then therefore you have to fight. Mama nasmara yudhyacha, tasmad sarveshu kaleshu, mama nasmara yudhyacha. So Arjuna asked Krishna the question, prayana kale chakatam geosini atatmabi, how can the Lord of Yajna be known at the time of death by the devotees? And Krishna said, well, you abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanya gamina paramang purusham divyam yati parthanu chintayan. So you have to practice the yoga with your mind completely fixed in on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, so always thinking of Him. And Arjuna sounds, well, that's the kind of thing, that sounds very nice. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to go off and be a yogi. Then Krishna says, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mama. Yes, therefore you should always think of me and fight. So Arjuna's thinking, wow, it's great, I'll become a yogi. But Krishna, no, you have to fight. Have to fight. Can't get out of it. So Krishna he's willing to give his blessings, but he has a specific way. We can't say, well, I think I'll be a pure devotee and have $1 million house and some fancy cars and all these kind of things. Yeah, okay. Okay, Krishna, that's the deal. But Krishna, he gives his blessings as he wants to give. He may give $10 million house, all these things. And we have to see if we're ready to use that. We can take Krishna's blessings and spoil ourselves and serve Krishna. Sudama Vipra. Sudama from Sudamapuri, as it's sometimes called. Porbandar is now the present town. So he was absolutely poverty-stricken, but he never thought anything except that I'm blessed by Krishna. Krishna was so kind, he gave me his association in his childhood. And he didn't think that, oh, I have no money, God doesn't like me. He never thought like that. Then later, he came back. He never asked for Krishna for a blessing in the form of money. He was supposed to, but he forgot. Or he thought it inappropriate. And he came back and he found, oh, now it's all big, palatial money, so many things. And he went on with his Krishna consciousness. He used it all in Krishna's service. So that's how he used that blessing. And someone else may, as Srila Prabhupada notes in one of his purports, that he says that sometimes we see people come to Krishna consciousness with other motives. That they come for economic motives, and then when they get enough money, they go away. So they got what they wanted. He said about one of his godbrothers. He said that one of my godbrothers, one of my leading godbrothers, He got the benediction of my Guru Maharaj in the form of the properties and control of the Gauriya Math. And I got it in the form of being able to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So, we're all blessed by Srila Prabhupada's merciful advent in this world. But we should really know what that blessing is, what blessing he really wants to give us. And then take it and then use it. In the Bible there's a story of Jesus, which may be like many other stories in the Bible, a folk story from previous times. There's no harm in that. The story of the master who gave different servants some amount of money. Talents, they were called. Silver talents. So he gave one servant so much amount, another servant another. So different servants, he was going away for a long trip. And when he came back, he asked the first servant, "So where's the money?" And he gave back with interest because he had done some business and this and that. So two of them gave it back with interest and one of them just gave it back. He said, "What did you do?" He said, I buried it in the ground and kept it safely, and the master chopped off his head or something like that. That's the usual kind of thing they do in the Bible if you do something wrong. And said, "You're useless. What can I say? I gave you and you should have given it back with interest." So that's the idea, that we should, as Srila Prabhupada said, that if you feel indebted to me, you feel that we're all indebted, the disciple is indebted to the spiritual master. But if you actually feel indebted to me, then you cannot repay the debt, but you should try to repay the debt by preaching vigorously like me. We can't repay the debt, but we're always in debt. The more we serve the spiritual master, the more mercy we get. Then the more in debt we are. But that mercy, that is our duty to share that with others. And of course, different devotees have different services. It's not that everyone's going to be a sannyasi and preacher. One can serve Krishna very well in so many different capacities. But one shouldn't think that, well, I have a comfortable house and a comfortable home and this is God's blessing and that's all. But one has to always think what to do more. What am I doing for Krishna? What more can I do? How am I using this blessing? So we are all undoubtedly fortunate to be blessed by Srila Prabhupada. And like this woman I spoke of, we should be, it's good to be conscious of that. It's good to be conscious that we're in a very fortunate position. We're in an extraordinarily fortunate position. Without any real qualification, no one in Kali Yuga hardly has any qualification. In fact, in Kali Yuga, most people are highly disqualified for any real spiritual life, but we've been given the opportunity for that. We are extraordinarily blessed. But we have to take that blessing and use it in Krishna's service. Now, just another point I want to speak on, just for a few more minutes. is that last night a devotee told me that he's a devotee for many years, it seems, that whenever the World Cup soccer comes, every 4 years, he's always glued to the TV, watching it all. And I heard in South America, it's like that. Whenever the World Cup soccer comes around, all the devotees will be taking their prasad and watching the soccer games and this and that. So, it is a, or can, well, it is a strong addiction. It's coming up now, the World Cup soccer. I know it's not such a big thing in the United States or in India, but at least I've seen some signs here and there. Here in America also something about World Cup soccer, and probably here in Florida, well, especially further south, with a lot of Hispanics, there'll be more interest in that. And in India, it's more interest in cricket, and in America, it's baseball, their own version of football, which sometimes you see on the TV, and I wonder, what do they bother with a ball for? Why don't they just beat each other up? It's just, I couldn't understand. And what's the other one? Basketball. These are three main sports. Then there's golf and tennis and so many others. Olympics. But I was just thinking, when I thought about that and said, well, that's really putting oneself at great risk, isn't it? Because death can come at any time. And if you're absorbed in thinking about, yeah, I discussed that with him this morning in a joking way. That if you're absorbed in seeing a football and then you die all of a sudden, which can happen at any time, then what happens? And he said, well, you might come back as an animal, and then your body gets used for the leather for the ball. I was just trying to think, how do you get from football? Well, I mean, you can't come back as a football exactly. You might think, well, I'll come back as a great soccer player, but they're very egoistic people, these great soccer players. Huh? People worship them more than God. They get so much money. So anyways, it's a very dangerous thing, to allow oneself willingly to be absorbed. You may think, well, it's only 2 weeks or whatever it is. But very dangerous. And it's not that you just forget it when it's all over. Everything we do, touch, taste, smell, feel, hear, and think about leaves an impression in the mind. Sangskar stays in the mind. So we're supposed to get free from this and become attached to Krishna. So that's just a thought. If any of you were thinking of tuning into World Cup soccer, I know it's not so popular here in America, but the media can make that which is unpopular, popular. Just like in India, people, when I first went to India, it was almost 40 years ago, people were crazy about cricket, but they had no interest in soccer, tennis, golf, or any of these things. I remember once seeing in the newspaper in Calcutta, I don't know which year it was, there was something about this much in the newspaper said that Argentina had won the World Cup final. It was like this much. Soccer, World Cup final. In other words, it was a minor thing in India, whereas it'd be on the front pages in many countries of the world. And now in India also it'll be on the front pages, because they built up people's interest just by putting it in the newspapers again and again and again. And now people in India are also interested in, they've started to become interested in soccer and tennis and all stupid things like this. Where is our mind going? Don't allow it to be taken away by these thieves. Yeah. Krishna's name is Hari, means he's a thief. Chitta Hari. We should ask Krishna for this blessing. Come and steal my mind. But if we're also calling in the burglars of Hollywood or Bollywood movies and sports and material aspirations, then Krishna will say, "You want all that? Oh, okay, take it." Well, he'll give you the blessing, but he won't give you the blessing of his lotus feet. So that is the aspiration of a devotee, to be enchanted by Krishna. But if we deliberately cultivate something else, then no hope for that. So if we think, "I want the blessing of pure devotional service," we have to really be serious about it and not just, "Oh, give a blessing. Oh, thank you very much," and then run off and just go on with life as it. Want the blessing for pure devotional service? Well, we have to take the process. Abhyasa yoga yuktena cha cetasananya. We have to take up the sadhana very seriously, and the absorption in the service of Krishna, chanting about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, remembering Krishna, serving Krishna, thinking, "What does Krishna want of me? I am his servant." Hare Krishna. I'll finish there unless there are any questions. You are blessed. If it's a nice class, people say that, I think, "What did I do wrong?" If you think it's nice, mostly people think nice means something entertainment, but I don't think it's my duty to entertain.
And that's why I said this was nice, because there's a lot of things we've learned and a lot of important things that we've learned.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. But generally nice is associated with something that is pleasing for me rather than something that is meaningful for me.
So, Madam, my question is that, like, we are reading or studying the Srimad Bhagavatam's second canto, where the topic of Purusha Shakta is confirmed. And there, Lord Brahma is saying, telling Narada that these days, or nowadays, the people in general, when they see these other powers of someone with a lot of powers, or even someone with a lot of compassion, they come and give so much of compassion to people. People in general tend to believe that they are on some level of absolute platform. So how do we tell everyone that this is just a reflection of the main source, not the main...
What is a reflection of the main source?
The personalities that they exist these days, who could be...
Are you talking about the personality cult worship that is prominent in modern Hinduism?
Either that, or someone could be a good healer, or someone gives...
A good
hugger.
Good healer, a good hugger. Who's the good healer? How can we tell people? And you have to tell people, you have to give education. The body is temporary, we are eternal living being, and real benefit is done for others by giving them eternal benefit. So, to blow on the boil is not actually beneficial. One has to lance it. that we have to tell. Generally we have to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Most people are not anywhere near any level of beginning to hear about the Absolute Truth. Very few people are interested. If we are going to draw people's attention to their catastrophic situation and the solution to it, we're going to have to be very serious about doing so. Can't be a hobby. Just like if a medical unit in the there's a battle going on in the medical unit, and when they feel like it, they go out sometimes and treat a few people. That's not their duty. They have to be extremely serious about what they're doing. Then they can have some effect. We can't expect to give the message of truth which is so much foreign to and so much repulsive to the diseased conditioned souls. We can't expect to be able to give it to them unless we ourselves fixed in that truth and very serious to impart it to others. Even then, we have to be very patient. That's the blessings we should ask Krishna for.
Try to give up an attachment, everyone around you has that attachment, so when you start giving it up, it seems like you almost get chastised for it. And it's at that point where it's hard for me to advance just because people around me don't want to advance. So what does one do in that situation?
You find it difficult to advance because others around you don't want to advance, and you, what did you call that, groupthink?
Yeah, like collectivism.
Collective desire to stay at a certain level. It sounds like you're talking among the circle of devotees. Otherwise, who are you talking about?
Yeah,
we have to, therefore we are enjoined to take the association of advanced devotees. Those who are content to practice Krishna consciousness in a not very intense way and feel threatened by those who do, they're not good association. We often hear the verse cited, akama sarva kamova moksha kama udara dhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That whether one is full of desires, desireless, or desiring liberation, one should take to Krishna consciousness. But this verse is usually offered with the word tivrena, which means in a most intense manner, not translated. So we all have so many material attachments, but we are enjoined to take to Krishna consciousness intensely. And that certainly was one feature of it's a feature of any pure devotee of Krishna. That's a very, very definition, one of the definitional characteristics of a pure devotee, intense love for Krishna. So we often hear about Srila Prabhupada's kindness, his compassion, and this and that. As I see it, this emphasis is, it's a Jesusizing of Srila Prabhupada, that you just go on with whatever you're doing and Jesus blesses you and then everything's okay. So with Srila Prabhupada also, that, well, doesn't really, all the instructions that Srila Prabhupada gave about giving up material attachments and completely surrendering to Krishna and overcoming all the anartha nivritti, all the bad things in the heart, well, that doesn't really matter. You just believe in Prabhupada and then just like believe in Jesus and then everything's okay. Prabhupada's mercy. That's not what Prabhupada taught. He intensely, because he was intensely concerned about our welfare, he pushed us to give everything to Krishna. That's Bali, what you're saying. Bali Maharaj, he had the same problem when he wanted to surrender everything to Krishna. And his guru told him, Sarvasvam Vishnave Dattva Katam Murko. What is that? If you give everything to Vishnu. I'm just forgetting the last line. And if I try to think, I won't remember. So. There it is. Muho Bhartishyate Katam. Then how will you maintain yourself? It's all right to be little bit Krishna conscious, but not too much. I mean, you have to think about yourself also. So this kind of attitude, which, if it's somewhat from a slightly different perspective, it is valid. The point that we don't, yes, we're in this world, and especially those are grihasthas, they should do something, some work, whatever, to maintain that situation. They shouldn't be irresponsible in that position. That's true, but if we have a division in our thought that, well, here's my enjoyment and here's my Krishna consciousness, then that's when it becomes dangerous. Because in family life also, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught in many songs, as a grihastha, famously, one should offer everything to Krishna. Manasa deha geha jo kichumo apilantu apade nanda kisha. Oh Krishna, nanda kisha, my mind, body, home, family, everything, it's all offered to you. That should be the attitude. So it's essential, if we are really going to advance in Krishna consciousness, to take that kind of association. Which is the devotees who are really serious to advance in Krishna consciousness and who don't let us slip. Many devotees think, well, I'd like to get Srila Prabhupada's direct personal association, but not many could take it for a protracted period of time. Srila Prabhupada was intense. Once Guru Kripa, he told this story, that once Srila Prabhupada called him in the middle of the night, sent his servant to call him. And he called him, so he got up and came to Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was up translating. And Prabhupada said, what are you doing? He said, well, I was sleeping, Prabhupada said. Why are you sleeping? I'm not sleeping, I'm up working. Why aren't you working? And Guru Kripa said that, well, I'm not a pure devotee like you, Prabhupada said. Why aren't you a pure devotee? He pushed him and pushed him. So, who could take that? So that association we need, in which we're always making always seeking to make advancement to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, then we can make advancement. Otherwise, it's very difficult if we feel we're being held back by others who want to be Krishna consciousness, but not too much. Want to be Krishna conscious, but not too much. Of course, we shouldn't blame devotee. We should be careful also of that, of getting in that mentality, because anyone who interested to be a devotee of Krishna is a glorious person, far better than the common person in the street. And actually, if we objectively examine, then we are more fortunate than the woman who I'd mentioned who says, "I am blessed," because she doesn't actually know who is God or what he wants, and almost certainly is eating meat and beef and all kinds of horrible things. So devotees are glorious, no doubt, but we should, if we want to advance, we should take the association of, or remain in the association of those who are very serious to advance. If we can submit ourselves to that. Hare Krishna. So, we'll finish there.
Thank you very much for coming, Maharaj.
Thank you for being here.
One thing of note is that we just heard a peacock.
Yeah, yeah.
We had some peacocks, but we haven't seen them for a long time.
Oh, you just heard one now.
They were here and gone for a long time, so we take this as an auspicious signal.
Time to get serious.
Yes.
Don't imitate the peacocks. That just reminded me of one. We're talking about being serious and being advanced and all that. That there was one devotee in Srila, when it was in Mayapur, when Srila Prabhupada was present, he thought, "Well, I want to become a resident of Vrindavan." But without going through all the process. So he thought, "Well, I'm a peacock in Vrindavan." So he started imitating a peacock and making noise like this. Just crazy. And you get those who imitate gopis, men who dress in saris and have their menstrual period and all kinds of things. So, Hare Krishna.